Good morning. The time is almost 9:07. Lots of sunshine at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in this hour, in just a few minutes, we will hear a conversation that myself and Jeff Grass had last evening with a terrific young man from D.C. Everest Senior High School, Cohen Preby. He is a junior on the Evergreens boys basketball team. He is averaging a team-high 19 points per game, among the leading scorers in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. Very engaging young man. We had a chance to talk to him last night as a student-athlete guest on the Big High School Sports Show. So we'll hear that conversation coming up in just a couple of minutes. But before we go any further, with all the activity in the last hour, had Pat Kreitlow on, had Brittany Merlot on, had Mike Clemens on, failed to bring in our in-studio engineer across the glass, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Were you waiting, just waiting for me to introduce you that entire first hour?
I was, but I was paying attention, though.
Well,
I'm just glad we got the phones working.
Yeah, we had a busy hour on the phone. So, generally, how are things going this morning?
Every day, I keep getting a little bit better.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I tell you.
I think it's all just, it's always about clearing my nose now, because I think the rest of my body is doing pretty well. It's just, I think once my sinuses are clear, I should be feeling a lot better.
But terrific.
Every day it's a little bit better, so it's making progress.
You're going to be back at rehearsal tonight?
Yes, I am.
When's the last time you had a rehearsal? Because you missed a little time, haven't you?
Last rehearsal I was at, yeah, was last Friday. So Monday I wasn't there. A Tuesday, I had to keep my distance. Wednesday, I couldn't be here because I was here. So,
it's been a while.
Two rehearsals, but it's not so bad. I mean, it's still early, so I still have time to catch up. So, you know, as long as I work hard and ask for help, I'll take plenty of notes, I should be okay.
Fantastic. So, again, when is the show? It's about a little more than a month away.
Yeah, we're actually about a month away. It's February 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Wow, that is pretty quick, to say the least.
Yes, it is. Yep.
A little drowsy chaperone from the Wausau Community Theater.
Yep.
Be at the Venega Theater over at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point at Wausau campus.
We have four shows. We have one on Thursday, one Friday, and then a two on Saturday.
Terrific. So hopefully you'll get to be 100%, have no setbacks, and take the next month and plow ahead towards a terrific production.
Fingers crossed. Absolutely.
Absolutely as well. During the last hour, we were talking to Pat Kreitlow and brought up a topic that he had talked about earlier this morning, including his friend Kristen Lyerly, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who appears on that program so often. And I came across a story about this. Again, it's such a, it really kind of annoys me. As the headline, Democrats advocates call on Speaker Voss to bring postpartum Medicaid coverage bill to the floor. And the thing is, this has bipartisan support. 46 states have passed it. And yet Robin Voss has the power because for whatever reason, annoyed at somebody, that he decides that, nope, not going to do it. And basically, this bill would expand Medicaid coverage for new mothers from 60 days to a year after giving birth. The bill, SB 110, would instruct the State Department of Health Services to seek approval from the federal government to expand Medicaid coverage for postpartum women to 12 months. It passed the Senate on a 32-1 vote in September, but has not moved any further in the Assembly, in part, and some would say in total part, because of Robin Voss's opposition. Minority Leader Greta Neubauer said, "We are calling on Speaker Voss to bring this bill to the floor and help address disparities and maternal outcomes in our state," said during a press conference yesterday at the state capitol. "Wisconsin must act so families in my district and across the state," Neubauer said, "have the opportunity to access a critical support system that will address the racial disparities brought to light by the Black maternal health crisis." While newborns in Wisconsin are already automatically eligible for Medicaid coverage through their first year of life, mothers in the state of Wisconsin currently receive just 60 days of coverage after giving birth. The option... The option to expand postpartum coverage past the 60 days first became available to states in 2021 through the American Rescue Plan, with the aim of improving maternal health and addressing racial disparities in maternal health. The Dr. Lyerly, who was on Pat Kreitlow's show today, was also at the press conference yesterday, said that almost half of pregnancy-related care in Wisconsin is provided through Badger Care, and that care is essential for women through the first year postpartum. Lyerly said, when my patients lose their coverage at 2 months postpartum, they have nowhere to turn as they continue the long, arduous recovery from their pregnancy. She said, "If you haven't had a baby, you might think that the pregnancy is over when the baby is out, but that isn't quite how it works. It takes a full year to recover from a pregnancy, and for women with complicated pregnancies, it can take even longer and require numerous interactions with the healthcare system." Again, there are people on both sides of the political spectrum who see this as a no-brainer. And again, Robin Voss, who likes to play these political games, continuing to do so. And he's got the power to do it as the Speaker of the State Assembly. Wisconsin is one of just four states, including Arkansas, Iowa, and Idaho, that have not expanded Medicaid and don't have plans to expand it. Several attempts have been made to pass the policy in Wisconsin. Lawmakers introduced the bill during the 2021 legislative session to extend coverage to a year, but Republican lawmakers opted not to pass that bill and instead applied for a waiver with the federal government to extend coverage to 90 days. Jeez. The waiver is pending. Tony Evers has included the expansion to 12 months in his 2019, 2021, and 2023 budget proposals, but Republicans have thrown it out each time. After it was taken out of the budget in the last cycle, Democrats tried to reattach it through an amendment, but Republicans again rejected the proposal. These are simply games being played by the GOP when it comes to this important issue. The bill is supported by a wide array of organizations across the state, including the Wisconsin Hospital Association, the Wisconsin Medical Society, Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, Ascension Wisconsin, Medical College of Wisconsin, Pro-Life Wisconsin, Kids Forward as well. and Donna Roser, Republican from Marshfield. The lead assembly co-author said she doesn't see the bill progressing further in the assembly for the time being, and it's likely the bill will come back again in a future legislative session. Roser said, if you don't have key leadership support, it doesn't move forward. So you continue to state your case, and you can continue to advocate, and you can continue to make people aware of the maternal issues that occur postpartum, and you just continue to plug along. And she, again, a Republican who's being stopped by the leadership of her own party. Neubauer said it's up to Voss to schedule the bill for a vote, and that Democrats will continue to encourage him to do just that. I'd like to see some billboards out there. Robin Voss doesn't care about postpartum women. Because that's the truth. Again, the political games, that the idea that anything that is done with the government is bad, is such a poisoned way to think. It's the wrong way to think. Hopefully, at some point, Robin Voss will decide, there's support on both sides. Here's something we could do. And as Pat said, one of his guests, I can't remember, said that Robin Voss could take credit for it, take a victory lap, but at this point, not doing so. The time is 9:18. Coming up next, we will hear my conversation with DC Everest boys basketball standout Cohen Premy. That's coming up as we continue here on a Thursday morning. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 to 12:30. Chad Holmes Show and Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. Last night on the Big High School Sports Show, myself and Jeff Gress had a chance to talk to D.C. Everest boys basketball standout Cohen Premy. Just last week, Cohen had a career-high 38 points in an Evergreen win over Chippewa Falls, averaging 19 points per game so far this season. So here's Jeff Gress and myself, conversation with D.C. Everest Jr. Cohen Premy. We are very happy to welcome our student-athlete guest for this week from D.C. Everest Senior High School, outstanding junior boys basketball player Cohen Premy. Cohen, thank you for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I like to make sure everybody realizes that despite me being around you for 20 years, when you were coaching for all those years at Newman Catholic, and all the years I've been at Wausau West, I actually went to D.C. Everest, so I got a little green in me, a little bit. But don't tell anybody at West, but I always like to be able to bring an Evergreen on once in a while as well. But no, number one, congrats on the success you've had so far. Obviously, and I caught my attention. You had 38 last week against Chippewa Falls. You had another good effort last night on the road at Hortonville, correct?
Yep.
And generally... you've been a player on the varsity since a freshman.
Yeah.
The first question I'm going to ask you, how have you changed as a player since you started as a freshman, when you first started playing varsity basketball up to this point? Where are the areas that perhaps you've improved the most or changed the most to help your team?
Yeah, I think since I was a freshman, I think I've grown a lot, like physically. Like when I started playing freshman ball, it was like when I was a freshman, it was like a big jump, obviously, from eighth grade playing travel ball. Like they're big dudes, so you know I had to just change like physically and like have my game where I'm more like shooting, And I think I've evolved since then where I'm more a threat going down low and, you know, being able to drive and still shoot.
And another transition. I mean, I don't think, you know, you're as a freshman, you're wide-eyed. You're trying to figure it out each year. You're like, I can contribute. I want to play this. And then you transform your role maybe from more leadership style because now you got guys that will finally listen to you as you get a little older and you start to do stuff on the court. But even so, and not saying any coaches are better than the other, there's a transition when you have coaches changes too. How has that been? I mean, because I know when I played and I coached for a while, I was always the same guy there coaching. I always had the same coach, and I know some guys are like, yeah, it's a good transition. Sometimes it's harder. Did your mindset change? Did you feel like you had to take on more to help out? And because I hear great things about your coach and about you guys as a team. And I guess walk us through a little bit when it's a coaching change, what expectations you put on yourself or maybe you didn't.
Oh, yeah. So the coaching change, we had to still have a new, like, system. And so I think it was more of like a leadership thing. We had to get all the guys, you know, kind of running the same thing. And with a new coach coming in, we kind of ran a different system than my sophomore year than we did as a freshman. So I think, you know, it's changing that. But I think it was I think Coach Drake does a really, really good job with us. And, you know, he pushes us a lot. And I think he runs a good system. So I think it was good at the end of the day.
And how about jumping into some of your teammates? I mean, we'll always make the disclaimer, you might miss a guy, I guess tell us about, for the people that haven't seen Everest basketball yet or are watching something, different conference or different teams, maybe something about your teammates and what they bring to the team.
Yeah, so Casey Studeman, he's a post, he's a junior. I think he brings a lot of leadership to the team. You know, I think he runs the offense well. You know, me and him run a lot of pick and roll and handoffs. I think just like presence down low. He's like our big guy. Colin Ebersold, senior, he brings really good defense. Brings a lot of talking. So is Casey. He brings a lot of talking on defense. He cuts a lot, which really opens up our offense, which I think is great for us. Cade Felch is a really good shooter. You know, knock down anytime. He also moves the ball really well. Xavier Edwards, Cade and Xavier are both sophomores. Xavier he can drive really well, get to his left hand really well. You know, I think he brings a scoring presence also. He plays really well defensively. And Zachary Jones, he comes off the bench. He brings great energy. You know, day in, night in and night out, you know, he's always on the bench encouraging us, telling us what we're doing. And, you know, he gets on the floor. He's high energy, high ball pressure, you know, getting ready to play.
Well, again, we're talking to Colin Preby of DC Everest, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. So far this season, it has to be a big change because over the last number of years, there's always been a haul, at least one, sometimes two. How has that been different? Because, man, I mean, you don't see too many schools that have had that level of scoring from anybody. I imagine there's a bit of a transition for everybody to kind of develop their own roles without having somebody that, you know, coming into any game that could be putting up 35 or 40 points a night.
Yeah, it was, you know, Marcus and Colton were both obviously great players. And also we had to change. I think we had to play more as a team. Mm-hmm. You know, you're bringing them, you know, we could literally just give them the ball and they would score. So, I mean, just, you know, we had to learn how to play with each other, run more, two-man stuff, and, you know, just being able to play more as a team.
When you look at so far, if you look strictly at the record right now, obviously there's some work to do. But we were talking in the first segment about within your conference, you still have a lot of conference play. And the games you played against teams like Stevens Point and Marshfield and West, who are in the upper echelon, and you beat a team in Wausau East that is above you as well. And your non-conference schedule is always very challenging in recent years as well. How do you think the process has been? Has it been difficult playing the teams you have? Have you been able to learn the lessons that I'm sure that you and your teammates and your coaches are hoping to? How have you looked at so far? Because obviously you'd love to win a little bit more, but do you feel like your guys are taking the steps that you need to maybe take advantage and be a team that can move up in the conference standings down the stretch?
Yeah, I think the hard knock conference schedule, I think it's a good thing. I'm hoping it pays off, you know, later on when we get into the playoffs. You know, we've been like, we play good teams all year, so you know, when we play them, like, we're ready, we expect it. So I think that's always a good thing. And I think our guys, we're taking it, you know, it's hard, like we lose maybe like a close game and then we have to go and play another hard opponent,
right?
So I mean, it's not really an easy turnaround, so you know, we're always trying to learn on the fly, but then we have another hard opponent the next night. So, I mean, you know, we're trying to take it as best as possible, you know, always trying to get better, like take practice time, like really valuable, you know, always, you know, trying to get better.
Mm. And what do you take, you know, so many times before, it doesn't matter what grade level you're at, what school you play at the end of the day, you want to see your team on the top part of the scoreboard. It's just like a measuring stick. Like, yeah, we went and played pretty, but we won by one, game over, we win, yeah. You know, or we won by 20 or whatever it is. So sometimes I know teams can, and players can, you can beat themselves up over different things or certain reasons, but you know, I'm sure as in a solid program, you're analyzing stuff, you're looking for stuff to fix. For you as a player or your team, you know, we talked off air how tough that side of the state is, Hortonville and the Fox Valley over there and those teams. And so, you know, you learn a lot from your team that you can bring into the remainder of your season and the postseason and spring forth, I think, with what you can take from that. For you individually or you as a team, what do you guys take out of that loss? Because somebody that just looks at the score, oh, you got beat up, and you're like, well, we might have learned something too and made us tougher.
Yeah, like last night, we just try to look at, like, we watched back the film and, like, try to really analyze what, you know, some stuff that we did good and, like, obviously keep doing that, but then stuff we got to improve on. So, and today at practice, you know, we just worked on what we needed to work on. You know, just trying to always, you know, work on the areas we need to improve at.
We will have more with Cohen Preby of DC Everest coming up. But first, we will have a news update, news, weather, and sports, and then more to come here on Bull Falls Radio. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Continuing a conversation that Jeff Gress and myself had with DC Evers Junior Boys Basketball standout Cohen Preby.
Do you ever find that there's a level, I remember when we used to travel to different, whether if it was in conference, it was kind of seemed what, or Central Wisconsin, it kind of seemed one way. All of a sudden we went to a tournament down south. It's like, they don't call anything down here. You can take people out.
Yeah.
Do you ever find a you know, on an inconsistent level, a variety of how the game's played, and then you guys have to adjust your style? Because you've been to a handful of different places in those non-conference games, some tournaments here and there over Thanksgiving. Did you have one over Christmas too?
Yeah, we played in Green Bay.
Yeah, so you were in different parts of the state. Do you ever see a different, not saying anybody's reffing good or bad, but saying that there's a different style where you get to play more or you get to play less?
I think it's a little more physical when you head over there. I think, you know, and I'm not dissing on the rest, but I think it's a little bit more like touchy, like around here, like there's fouls rack up like a lot in the Valley game. So I think when we head over, you know, and play like the Fox Valley and Green Bay, you know, I think the refs, they're a little bit, you can push off a little bit more, mm-hmm. you can hold on to them a little bit more.
You like one style more than the other?
Yeah, I like you hold on a little bit more. I don't like when they call out of fouls, because I feel like then you can't really do anything. Like you try to wall up and they run into you and it's foul on you. So.
We'll come back to the basketball here in just a moment. Wanted to kind of spread the wings a little bit. First, are you involved in any other sports?
Yeah, I play football.
Yeah. And it was a good year for DC Everest, a solid season. What position do you play?
I play receiver.
Yep. And in terms of, if you have a good season in the fall and your team does well and you do well, is it some kind of momentum that you're able to carry into the winter?
I think it's just the winning, like, feeling, I guess. Like, you know, just if we won a lot, like, feeling how it felt to win and then trying to bring that over to the winter. You know, having high confidence, like, yeah, we had a good fall, now it's carried over to winter.
Is there a comparison in terms of your enjoyment of each of the sports? Because I know that you've been involved in a lot of basketball. Is football sort of an additional sport, or is the love close to basketball, or is it, you know, how do you look at that?
I like basketball. I like basketball a lot more. Football is kind of like, I still enjoy it, right, and I right. like playing it, but yeah, I like basketball a lot more.
And are there a lot of guys on the basketball team that also join you on the the football field?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to imagine that only helps the situation with camaraderie and being around each other.
Yeah, for sure.
And somebody that, I mean, obviously, you know, at somebody that's been able to play varsity since a freshman, it's more than just the high school game. And I think a lot of folks don't realize that out of season, there's a lot of basketball that is played.
Yeah.
Could you maybe explain how much basketball that you have during the course of the year and other opportunities that you do have to play basketball?
Yeah. So in the spring, after the winter, in the spring, we play AAU, which you travel around like the state or different states, you know, to go play. And obviously, you know, to keep your game sharp, you always got to keep playing like all the time. So with that, and then we run open gym in the summer. So we're doing that, and in the fall. So we're doing that over.
Can you compare the AAU games to the high school games that you play? Because obviously there's differences. The level of talent, I would say, that's probably because you have to basically earn your way onto some of these teams. But at the same time, and again, maybe I'm being unfair about this, but is the AAU a little more of an individual game where you're trying to impress people, or is the team aspect the same level as it is at the high school level?
I think some AAU teams, it's a lot about individual, but the team I'm on, we play really well as a team. And I think, you know, when we play well as a team, like, your individual game will come with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think as long as but I think most AAU teams, it's more like individual, like you're trying to show coaches, like, what you can do.
And on your team, do you have any other local guys in the area that play with you?
Yeah, I play with some guys at East, like Jesse, Jaden, Charlie. West, I play with Griffin and Bennett. Then Everest, I play with Zachary and Casey.
Okay. Are you already looking at the next level? Is that something that you think about? You're now in your junior year. Obviously, you have a pretty good resume you built up. Are you looking towards the next level at this point?
Yeah, I do want to play at the next level.
Do people contact you at this point? Have you talked to anybody, or is it still something that's still to come?
This summer I'm going to get more like involved with it and go take some visits and, you know, talk to coaches and stuff and go to camps.
Is there let's just fast forward. Is there a certain level you want to make it to? Is there a certain area you want to go? You know, sometimes people have their heart set like, I got to be a Badger. I got to be versus, well, I'm going to, you know, over to UW-Eau Claire. I mean, do you want to stay in state, or has it not been that in depth of thought? Because I know junior year, sometimes that's, you got to start thinking about it, but you're like, yeah, it's still not close enough. I can keep putting this on. It depends on the type of guy you are. But go ahead.
I actually want to go out of state. I don't like the cold weather, honestly. So I want to go down to, like, Florida.
Maybe go all the way down, right?
Yeah, I want to go somewhere warm.
In school, what's your favorite class?
Besides gym.
gym is a class.
Exactly.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying gym is the class.
Yeah, but, like, probably math. You know, it comes, like, pretty naturally easy to me, so.
Well, and again, like Russ, when you guys put up big numbers, you got to be able to add them up quickly in your head. I mean, that goes without saying.
I don't shoot well, so help me out of that.
And obviously, you're very busy with your basketball and then during football season as well. What do you like to do to maybe get away from it all, to maybe chill a little bit?
I like to hang out with my friends, you know, in my free time. You know, we'll go hang out somewhere, play some video games or something like that.
Is it ever hard to manage being a student athlete? I mean, I think sometimes people that have one in their house and see all they go through, you know, they're playing sports for this season. You got to focus on that. You've got the other side of the AAU basketball going on. Plus, you got to manage your grades. Plus, you're getting ready for college. I think sometimes it's underappreciated. And this is almost job-like to a degree.
Yeah.
Because and you have to figure out your time management of what you can invest in, what you got to back off on. I mean, how easy going through it? Hard? Has its moments?
I mean, it has its moments. Like, you know, tomorrow I have finals, so now I have, you know, I'm studying, trying to study all the time. And with basketball, you know, I'm always, if I'm not playing basketball, I'm studying. So, you know, it's hard to find free time, but, you know, when you get it, you got to make worth of it.
Who's your favorite team to play?
in just the Valley, or
in generally? I mean, you could maybe somebody you played in a tournament. I mean, is there a team that you really, when you saw the schedule, they said, "Man, I'm really glad. I'm gonna really this is the team I want to really impress against."
Yeah, West and East, you know, are always ones that, you know, we always look forward to going into. But non-conference, I'm actually looking forward to playing Mosinee this year. Mm. You know, another closer city. You know, they're a really good team. So, you know, that'd be a good game.
Speaking of the East, in the game they played against them, and I know they're coming up again, and they're 11-2, and they're having a great year. What did your team do that night that really clicked to be able to beat a really good Wausau East team by, 18 points? What worked that night that you're going to try to bottle the second time against them and against other teams coming down the stretch?
Yeah, I thought we played really well as a team. You know, we shared. I think we had really balanced scoring, that on the offensive end. But I think we really honed it in defensively. I think, you know, we put a lot of pressure on them, and we rebounded really well against them. So if we can do that again, you know, hopefully we get the same result.
With your time logged on the varsity court since you were a freshman, do you find you know, you talked about a little bit of the transition of your roles, how you're wide-eyed right away, and then you got to become more old and responsible, right? So anything you see yourself, you know, kind of like, oh, yeah, I was like that, but now I'm going to take somebody under their wing when they're younger and they get up there, or give them some extra advice? Or is it just like, you know, we're the Evergreens, we expect you to do it this way? And, I mean, is there guys you look to, you know, make sure that you get the right point across because you've been there and logged a lot of time? You can use that experience to help better your team or the rotation or the program?
Yeah, the underclassmen, I really try to, you know, use my, like, what I did, you know, try to make it better for them. Like, stuff like, you know, just, like, taking deep breaths, like, it's going to be all right. Like, just using what I did as a freshman and trying to help them as well and make it even better for them.
And you mentioned you'd like to, you know, look to play at the next level. If you had to judge, let's just say you were, you know, you were graduating this year and you were going on, would you, what would you say about your game? Because you learned as a freshman, it's bigger, stronger, faster, real fast, and you got to figure it out coming in from eighth grade basketball. What was something that you would want to improve in your game right now if you had to go, if you're jumping to that next level in the fall, from what you've seen of yourself in high school? What do you think you want to improve?
Yeah, to improve my game, I want to talk just defensively, honestly. You know, I want to become more of a known defender. You know, I really got to work on that in my game, especially the next level. Like, defense is a huge thing, you know, because everyone can score. So, you know, you really got to pride yourself on a defensive end. So that's what I want to get better at.
Do you have any personal goals when it comes to either stats or anything else, or even within the team concept? Your dreams, though, before you graduate from Everest?
Yeah, we really want to get past, like, regionals and get to sectionals as a team and probably win a conference championship before I leave. That would definitely be our goals.
I guess for my last thing, best right now going down the stretch, as you guys, you know, like Chad mentioned, it doesn't feel like we're into a lot of conference games yet because you see some of these teams around. A couple teams have only played three games in the bottom part of that conference. But you get into 10 games left too when you hit that 14 mark and you've got 24. Something you really like about your team right now that you're like, yeah, this is what Everest is, and this is what we look to bring to a strength of the team, and then maybe something like, yeah, we want to polish this off for the rest of the season.
Yeah, for sure. I think we play really well offensively. I think if we keep that going, you know, I think we can hang with a lot of teams offensively, but we really need to work on our defense and, you know, just, you know, limiting teams to what they score. And, you know, they're shooting high 3-point percentage against us, so, you know, closing on shooters more. But I think, you know, as we go down the stretch, like the season, you know, we're trying to, right now in practice, we're really working on defense, you know, trying to get that a lot better.
Do we ask juniors the question, or do we, what do you think? Is it still
go for
good,
it. Still he's, good been around, he's been around long enough.
Because we usually ask it for seniors, because most of the time we bring seniors on, but, you know, we decided, hey, you're doing good stuff. Based on what you've learned and, you know, over the first, 2.5 years of your varsity career, and if you have a younger player just joining the program, like a freshman, and you could give a piece of advice of something that you've learned over the last couple of years to a young freshman, what would that be?
I think it's really just, like, enjoy your time. Like, it goes by really fast.
and, you know, just enjoy every game, like, even the ups and downs, just, like, enjoy playing high school basketball. Like, you'll never get to play it again. So, like, you know, doing that, and it's fun every night. You know, new game, it's fun, and just, you know, cherish those moments.
Very good. Anything else, Jeff?
No, I do, you know, appreciate the information about the program, letting us get a little insight on Everest basketball. Wish you the best of luck. I think you have Rapids on Friday, right?
Yep.
Okay, best of luck in that, as the next one comes around.
Cohen Preeby, thank you for coming on. Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Good luck in the finals.
Thank you.
It is that time of year, final exams, along with athletics and everything else for the student athletes. And again, appreciated having Cohen Preeby come by and join us to talk about his basketball and other things as well. And that's one of the, again, great things. Long-form interviews with some of these great young people. Really enjoyed doing it each week on the Big High School Sports Show. The time is 9:48. Coming up, we will have our daily history lesson. We'll have our daily celebrity birthdays, this date in history, quiz Ian on the number of the day, and a whole bunch more. So that's coming up as we continue here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Time is 9:51. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. It is the, 18th day of January. January 18th of 2024. Day number 18 of the year. There are 348 days remaining in 2024. And some special, famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1964, plans were revealed for the World Trade Center in New York City. On this date in 1993, for the first time, the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday was officially observed in all 50 states. On this date in 1996, after 20 months of marriage, Lisa Marie Presley filed for divorce from Michael Jackson. On this date in 2008, in Berlin, Germany, a burglar broke into an apartment to rob it, but when he got inside, he found something completely unexpected, a body. The burglar called the police from within the apartment, hung up, and left. Officers discovered the 64-year-old resident dead in his bedroom. The man had passed away 2 weeks earlier. And on this date in 2018, the first drone rescue of swimmers was used by lifeguards in New South Wales, Australia. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Actor Kevin Costner, quite a career that Mr. Costner has had.
Indeed.
Kevin Costner turning 69 years old today. Comedian Dave Attell is 59. Actor-wrestler Dave Bautista. Are you familiar with Dave Bautista?
Yes, I am.
Well, yeah, as a wrestler,
but he was in Guardians of the Galaxy. He was Drax.
In the Marvel films, it says. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. He is so funny. So funny.
Dave Bautista celebrating number 55 today. Jesse L. Martin from Law and Order and The Flash is 55. Jason Segel, star of How I Met Your Mother, also was a cast member on Freaks and Geeks, turning 44. Ashley Murray, one of the stars of Riverdale, is 36. And Zico Zaki of FBI and 24 Legacy, turning 34 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday today, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Maintenance Day. It is also Gourmet Coffee Day. It is Peking Duck Day. It is Thesaurus Day. And it is Winnie the Pooh Day.
Nice.
Because the author of Winnie the Pooh was born on this date. So.
Oh. Yeah, I grew up on Winnie the Pooh.
Pooh likes the honey, right?
Absolutely. It's really good for you, too. That's why he eats so much of it.
Winnie the Pooh and Tigger 2. All right. The number for the day. I'm going to give you the topic, and then you'll try to give me the number.
Okay.
It is the tons of salt applied to paved surfaces each year in Minnesota.
Tons of salt.
So, tons of salt applied to paved surfaces each year in the state of Minnesota.
Minnesota.
So lots of snow in Minnesota.
Yep.
Normally.
Tons of salt. Yeah. Usually. But tons of salt. I would have to say probably 175 tons.
445,000.
Wow.
The number is 445,000.
That's a lot of salt.
Going to give you another number. It's going to be a bonus number today.
Oh, cool. Okay.
What is the average number of hours a month that the average NFL fan spends thinking, talking, or reading about their favorite NFL team?
Number of hours
per month.
Per month.
That the average NFL fan spends thinking, talking, or reading about their favorite NFL team.
Oh, boy. Well, this is definitely going to be a big
number. I mean, you have some teams that will be higher, and then some teams will be lower.
Okay. Number of hours per month an NFL fan talks. Okay. I have to say it's probably close to 2,000 hours.
A month? It's only 24 hours a day, 30 days a month.
Some people are very passionate about football.
No. 46 hours a month. The average NFL fan spends thinking, talking, or reading about their favorite NFL team.
That's still a long time.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. I mean, I think Packer fans actually probably higher than that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Thanks to our guests today, Pat Kreitlow, also Brittany Merloaf talking about the weather, and Mike Clemens getting set to head off to Northern California to cover the Packers for us this weekend. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have our daily, our weekly Wisconsin sports segment with Paul Mickling. Ian, have yourself a good rest of your day. Have a good rehearsal tonight, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Have a great rest of your day. Stick around. Matt and Air on air coming up here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.